on the field, and inside the clubhouse. This is Brewers Extra Innings, live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's Bob Brainerd.
Another first-place team in their division, the American League Central. But the Brewers say no problemo and take care of business in Game 1 of 2 with the Minnesota Twins. Winners tonight at American Family Field, 7-3 the final score. Welcome to Brewers Extra Innings. I am Bob Brainerd. It's Tuesday night. That's why I'm here. Dom is out of town, but he's back in town to carry you through the rest of the week as the Brewers get off on the right foot to start this homestand. Twins, followed by the San Diego Padres coming in this weekend. Joined tonight by former Milwaukee Brewer hurler, lefty, southpaw chucker, Wisconsin native Jerry Augustine. And Augie, the recipe lately has been, well, let's just rewind the tape. Sweep the White Sox in Chicago, but then get swept by the Dodgers in L.A. Sweep the Rangers down in Texas. So you're kind of thinking, well, this is where things go back and the pendulum shifts. But I got to give the Brewers credit. They kind of carry that momentum over from what they did in Texas, even though they had a day off to think about it on Monday.
Yeah, I tell you what, you look at what this ball club has done since they were in L.A. Things weren't just – nothing was going right. They just couldn't get the big base hits. The Texas L.A. Dodgers were just swinging the bat very well, playing great defense against the Brewers. They go into Texas. They sweep Texas. And you look like you just said, Bobby, with the runners in scoring position, the last four games, they're 17 for 39. That's a .430 clip. That's a when you're swinging the bat, you got runners on base, and you're advancing them and getting base hits. You're going to score runs, and that's what we've been looking for from this offense, and it's really paid off the last four ball games.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that number jumps off the page, Augie, that you just dispensed, because we know it has been tough with runners in scoring position for the Brewers to get them in home and push them across, but lately they have found the recipe. I'm looking at the box score, Augie, and every single player except Joey Weimer had a base hit. One base hit. They had eight total, and the top eight guys in the batting card all had one base hit, so Weimer didn't get a hit. Otherwise, you would be 9 for 9. That's incredible.
Yeah, you don't like the at-bats. You know, you look at this ball club, we all know that, you know, one of the things you want to do is when you get runners in scoring position or you have a good at-bat, you got something started in the beginning inning where you get guys on base, you want to put the ball in play. And I think that was one thing that we have seen, not only in Texas, it seems like it was at Texas also, because Texas has a good pitching staff. But tonight, they got an opportunity in that sixth inning to get guys on base. And what did they do? Good at-bats, good two-strike at-bats, hitting the ball the other way. We saw a lot of balls hit to the opposite field. That's when you're being patient at the plate, taking what you're given, and putting the ball in play. And the Brewers did that tonight, just as they've done the last four ball games. And this is something that we've been waiting for all season long. When you look at what this club has been hitting with runners in scoring position most of the year, right in that 230, 240 level, have now increased that in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Now they're hitting about 260 with runners in scoring position. Runners in scoring position. That's going to play big for this ball club down there, especially when you get into September.
Yeah, and September just around the corner. He is Jerry Augustine. I'm Bob Brainerd. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Back to that sixth inning, Augie, when they plated five runs. There wasn't a hard hit ball in the inning at all, but, big but here. Not big but, you get it. The infield is drawn in, and we all know what happens when the infield's drawn in. Batting averages, you have the opportunity to make things happen. And I like the Brewers' approach because, yeah, they didn't smoke the baseball, Augie, but they did what they had to do. With the infield in, you just try to put it in play.
It was kind of interesting. It was interesting how Minnesota approached that with bringing the infield in. I didn't quite understand it. You know, what you want to do is play back. They had an opportunity. They had runners on first and third and trying up, and they still brought the infield in. And Trang was able to get the ball in the air, and Correa just got the ball glancing off his glove. But when you look at what this ball team did tonight, especially in that inning where they scored the sixth inning, they put the ball in play. Good things happen when you put the ball in play, and that's what the Brewers did tonight. They put the ball in play. They had good at bats. They took what they were given, hitting the ball the opposite way. And when you do those things, good things are going to happen. And tonight it sure paid off because they got five singles or six singles in a row, were able to put up the five runs, and that was a difference in the ballgame.
Augie, I know it's, you know, what Baldelli is doing. I mean, it's a little bit of a head-scratcher, but I also understand it. As a pitcher, do you hate when the infield is in? Do you just understand it and have to bite the bullet and fight the fight? What is a pitcher's mentality when he knows those guys are right? They're creeping down his neck. Do they like it? Do they understand it? Do they hate it? What?
You're really put in a tough position. I think sometimes when you're a runner like on third base and there's less than two outs, you kind of understand what's going on. And what you try to do is you try to pitch to the ground ball. But in those situations that they were in tonight, it really puts a pitcher in a tough position because you have to make good pitches. Number one, you have to decide as a pitcher, what are you going to do? Am I going to go for the ground ball and have him put it in play? Or am I getting the position where I can go for the strikeout? And I think that's why you have to appreciate what the Brewers offense did today. I thought Canna did a great job of fighting off a pitch on the inside part of play, driving it the other way. Tyrone Taylor did the same thing. Terang got a ball that he could handle away from him. And Anderson, this is a guy that we know coming down in the next month that we're going to need him playing third base and doing much better with on the offense side of the ball. They put the ball in play. But as a pitcher, you have to decide on what you want to do, how you're going to pitch him. You get the ball up, what does that do? Induces usually fly balls. So you got to think down in the zone. You get behind in the count. You got to throw strikes. And it was a tough position for the Minnesota pitcher to be in that inning. I think what Floro was trying to do, he was trying to go for a strikeout, but getting balls in the middle part of the plate, the Brewers offense did a nice job of putting them in play.
Augie, Tyrone Taylor, 1-for-3 tonight, drove in a run. Willy Adames, of course, the 2-run home run, 1-for-4, plating a pair. When you watch those two guys, because we know all about the struggles that Taylor and Adames have had this season, but of late, starting to look more comfortable at the plate and being more productive, certainly. When you watch them, Augie, do you see anything different, or is it maybe just a mental mindset that they're in a more comfortable place?
I do see Tyrone Taylor as being much more patient at the plate. We're waiting for a pitch. And, you know, we always talk in the game of baseball, what do you do to help yourself be a better baseball player? Everybody talks about it. Slow the game down. Let the game come to you a little bit more. We see that Adames on the defensive side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball and shortstop. He just relaxed. He makes the play. He knows where he has to go, and he makes the play. Offensively, I think sometimes he gets a little aggressive. And when he gets aggressive, he has a tendency to go for that good slider on the outside part of the plate, the ball down, which is very tough to hit. Although they made a nice pitch up and in on him, which they struck him out with tonight. But it seems like he's getting a little bit more patient, a little bit more selective and trying to work the count where he can get a good pitch to hit. But I think Tyrone Taylor over the last 2 weeks has just swung the bat very well. Patient at the plate, taking what is pitch and putting the ball in play. Not thinking about driving the ball for a home run, but putting the ball in play, and it's really paid off.
Same thing with Willie, too. We know that a couple weeks ago, Craig Counsell said, time for a break. Sat him down for two consecutive games. It wasn't injury-related. And ever since then, I mean, it only took two games, but ever since then, it seems like Willie has just been as comfortable as Taylor has.
Yeah, he has. And I think, you know, the one thing we really like about Willy Adames is just the way he style of play. The way he goes out there, he's always in the game. Defensively, he's never going to give up on his defensive side of the ball. But on the offensive side, when we see Willy Adames not trying to pull everything, not trying to drive the ball in the ballpark, but being able to hit the ball the opposite way is really when he has success. And, you know, there's times when pitchers make good pitches. Tonight we saw some really good slide ball pitches on the outside part of the play where it's tough to hit. But you know what? A guy made a mistake in the middle of the play. What does he do? Drives the ball out of the ballpark. And you could see him his other times at the plate, trying to slow the game down, trying to be patient, trying to hit the baller's pitch because they know once they get ahead of him on the inside, they're going to throw breaking balls away. And he's just trying to adapt to that. But we really need him to step up. And I tell you what, I think the last couple games, he's been swinging the bat much better.
He is Jerry Augustine. This is Brewers Extra Innings. It's brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We know it's late, Brewer fans. You're probably in your pajamas. Augie is, but we've only just begun here on Brewer's Extra Innings. When we come back, our player of the game and so much more. Tuesday night, Bob Brainerd in for Dom, along with Cherry Augustine. This is Brewers Extra Innings. We are talking about a 7-3 victory at American Family Field over the Minnesota Twins. We talked about the offense tonight, Augie. They sprayed the baseball all over the park, especially in the sixth inning. Now for the pitching, and Wade Miley, I thought, was pretty Wade Miley-esque. The two-run home run in the second inning, but kind of settled in and settled down after that, didn't he?
We did. I just want to bring up one part here before we go on into the pitching, Bobby.
Yes.
You look at that lineup tonight, and I thought Craig Counsell did an outstanding job, and I was going to bring it up before, and I wrote it in my notes, and I just didn't look at my notes. But what does he do? He takes Santana, who's swinging the bat, a switch hitter, swinging the bat very well, puts him in that third slot. What does he do? Puts Adames hitting in the fourth slot, and then takes Canna, who's a good at-bat guy. He's the kind of guy who puts the ball in play, gives you a good at-bat, and puts sandwiches Adames between them. And I think that's going to help Adames also. So kudos to Craig Counsell for putting these two guys who come in via trade right before the trade deadline, have come in and really made a big difference. Right now we see tonight where he sticks them in the sandwiches Adames in there, and that's going to help Adames as we go along. I just wanted to bring up that point because I thought it made a big difference in the way Adames has been swinging the bat, and having those two guys the way they've been swinging and helping the Brewers, I think it's made a big difference.
Point well taken, Augie, because we know that Canna and Santana, when they were acquired, it was a little bit of a slog for them to get used to their surroundings and kind of figure things out. And, you know, there was some grumbling, you know, by the baseball fans in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, saying, oh, you know, we got these guys to hit. They're not hitting. But we talked about comfort zone with a Taylor. Comfort zone with Willy Adames looking more comfortable at the plate. Now I think I agree with you. I think both of these trade pieces are starting to feel comfortable wearing Milwaukee Brewer uniforms.
I agree with you. I think that's a great point, Bobby. And I think when you talk about putting those two guys in and doing the job that they've been doing, they understand that what this team is like and what they have to do to help this ball club. And it's that veteran leadership that always makes a big difference. When we get into the September, some of these young guys are not used to it yet. But boy, you get the Brian Andersons and you get the Santanas and you get the Cannons. They've been there before. They've understand that. And that's going to make a big deal as this team goes in the next 7 or 8 games. They get into September, it's going to make a big, big difference.
Yeah, okay, so now, Augie, pitching. Wade Miley, again, two-run home run given up in the second inning after the Brewers gave him a two-run cushion, so that evaporates. But, again, it was kind of a typical Wade Miley game. Not flashy, but he gets them through the first five and only gives up the 3 runs.
Yeah, Wade Miley's a guy that you enjoy watching pitching because it's artistic the way he goes about it. And he's the type of guy, when you talk about him, when you talk about fastballs up or harder pitches up, slower pitches down, that's his style of pitching. Every once in a while, he'll throw a little breaking ball up in the zone. But his strength comes from being able to command the strike zone or that cutter, that curveball slider down in the zone and being able to throw his little cut fastball, his little two-seam or four-seam fastball up in the strike zone. And I thought in the beginning of the game, he was dead on. The first inning, I thought he threw the ball masterfully. He made a mistake. The Vasquez got the ball up over the plate, and he was able to hit it out of ballpark. But I think all in all, you see the job that he did tonight. He did exactly what the Brewers needed him to do. Keep the team in the ball game, and I thought he threw the ball very well.
He throws, as you know, he throws quickly. You know, he's very efficient. You know, games that Wade Miley works, at least his innings, go quickly. It seems he's like a rhythm guy, right? I mean, he needs to work quick. He needs to kind of stay in rhythm to have success.
He likes facing rhythm. Certain guys that go out there, you go and watch them, and you go, you know, before they had the timing with the pitcher, they go out and they pitch those games that are an hour and 50 minutes or 2 hours and 20 minutes, and you go, wow, that was fast. And Wade Miley is that style of guy. He likes to get the ball. He doesn't like to take a long time. He understands how he wants to do what he wants to do. But when you get his success when he's pitching, it's not only pitching with good pace and rhythm, it's the ability to pitch with his soft stuff down, throwing it for strikes, and fast stuff up, being able to throw that cutter. And he did that well tonight. I thought he made a mistake at the basket, I'll get it, like we said. But I'll tell you, overall, he threw the ball very well, giving up just the 3 runs and kept the team in a ball game. And that's one thing that he will always do.
Yeah, and then, of course, we've talked about the offense, you know, with the explosion in the sixth inning. And because of that, the Brewer bullpen after Miley, you go Wilson, Milner, and McGill, 2 innings, 1 inning, 1 inning. So they cover the last 4 innings, Augie, and between those 3 guys, they only give up 2 base hits. Wilson was really good in his 2 innings, 3 strikeouts, nothing allowed.
That's it. So you, every time you look in a, you go and you look up in the box scores of all the games, when you see the starters and the starters go in, and our starters are done a good job. I think we have one of the best starters of anybody in baseball. But I think we're as good, if not better, in that bullpen. You see these guys come in. Very seldom do you ever have them come in. You see a lot of base on balls. Every once in a while, guy loses a guy and a guy will get a walk. But they come in, they throw strikes, they pitch ahead. One of the keys of pitching out of a bullpen is be able to come in and pitch the strikes. That's what was so pleasant about McGill in that ninth inning. He came in tonight. Here's a guy throwing 101, 100. He can get to that triple digit, but he usually has a little bit of a problem commanding strikes. So tonight was in the strike zone the whole inning and throwing some pitches 101, 100. You get those guys coming in the game, throwing strikes like Wilson has done, Bryce Williams. Wilson, where would we be without him, what he's done in the bullpen? And Milner has been so consistent. But they come in, they throw strikes, and they pitch ahead. When you do that, you're going to be successful. And that's a big reason why I think the Brewers' bullpen is probably the best in all of baseball.
Yeah, it came around tonight. It worked tonight. And little byproduct of what happened, because the offense put a 5 spot up in the sixth inning, and because those 3 guys after Miley did what they did, Devin Williams didn't have to see the field, Augie. That's huge. When the offense and the bullpen in front of him, they say, look, we're going to take care of business here. You don't have to pitch tonight. And he needed a breather. So those two factors really came together to keep Williams from seeing the field.
That's a great point, Bobby. And when you talk about this ball club, and when they went out and they scored the 5 runs like they did in that sixth inning, Bryce Wilson was able to go out and pitch multi-innings. He's one guy in that bullpen that can go out and give you 2 or 3 innings, and you feel comfortable what he can do. And by Bryce being able to go out and pitch that second inning, then have Hobie come in and pitch the inning, and along with McGill finishing it off, you're in a position. Because one thing about this Minnesota team, we know that they can strike, and they can strike fast. They showed us that what they can do up in Minnesota by scoring a bunch of runs in the ninth inning to beat us 1 game, and it can happen. So being able to go out, I thought Bryce Wilson was a key to the game, going out and giving that first inning, but the second inning was even more important. And he went out, he threw that 0 up there and set the stage for Milner and McGill.
So Augie and I agree. We're going to give Bryce Wilson our player of the game for what he did. 2 innings of work, gave up nothing, struck out 3 Minnesota Twins. He is our player of the game. It's brought to you by the Salvation Army. Brewers fans, every day, the Salvation Army provides shelter, meals, and support to those in need. Your donations make a difference. Visit them at samilwaukee.org to help today. When we come back in Brewers Extra Innings, Augie and I will take a look ahead as the Brewers extend their lead in the NL Central. The final at American Family Field tonight. It was a warm one, and the Brewers heating up by scoring 5 runs in the sixth inning. Minnesota led it at that point in the top of the fifth, 3-2, but the Brewers got a 5-burger and went on to win it by the final score of 7-3. I'm Bob Brainerd in for Dom, joined by former Brewer pitcher Jerry Augustine. And Augie, what I like about what is happening here this past weekend and then again tonight is that, look, we all know what the schedule says for next week. We all know what's lurking. It's a 3-game series at Wrigley Field with the Chicago Cubs. So as members of the media, as fans, we all know, and we're all anticipating, and we're licking our chops and thinking, oh, you know, what if, you know, but, and you played this game, players don't think that, do they? I mean, do they know? Do they know it's lurking? Or are they just blinders on, it's the Twins tonight, and we don't even know who's on the schedule?
I think they just say you play one day at a time. I think that's the number one thing you always do when you get to the major leagues. It's, you know, no game is going to be easy. There's no rollovers of any ball club. And when you look at the schedule coming up, that they have coming up, Minnesota, yes, tomorrow, and then they got San Diego, which I think is going to be a really an interesting series this coming weekend. And then you got the Cubbies. The Cubbies is going to be a fun series to watch it down in Chicago. But after that, you got Philly and Pittsburgh and the Yankees and Miami. You play seven. You got Washington coming in here. You got to remember, Washington played the Brewers really tough. So when you get into that pennant drive, boy, every series, every game is important. And every day is like playoff baseball, and it brings a special meaning in you because you're down to 30 games, then you're down to 20 and 25 games, and all these things happen. But it's going to be special. And the last month is not an easy month for the Brewers. They're going to have to go out and play really good, sound baseball. But I really like what they're doing now. Their pitching is really coming around. Their bullpen is settling in. They can shorten the game with that great bullpen that they have at the end with Devin Williams. But I'm going to tell you what, offensively, they're starting to swing the bat, putting runners on base, moving them over, getting them in, and that's so important. They start scoring some runs, and this ball club is going to be do just fine. But there are no easy series or easy games. Every game has meaning from now on.
Yeah, I would agree, Augie. You mentioned swinging the bat and starting to look a little bit better at the plate. Going to be critical here in the month of September, no doubt about it. No matter if they're playing the Cubs like they will next week or any of the other team. You know, you mentioned Miami, who's in the chase for the wild card. You mentioned Philadelphia, who's in the thick of that as well. Do baseball players change when it's September and they're in the hunt? And by change, Augie, I mean, is there a different vibe in the clubhouse? Is there a different feel when you go to the plate? Do they nod up a little bit more? Or is there anything different? Or does September, even if you're in a pennant chase and you know that there's a reward at the end, do guys still play the game the same way? Or is there a different air in the air?
You know what? I think September is always what they call the intense month. It's always like, hey, there's meaning behind everything that you do in the game of baseball. It was no matter whether you're in first place or you're in last place or you get an opportunity or you don't have the opportunity. Every game means something because you know if you're battling for a playoff position or a wild card spot, that every game, every win does mean something. That gets you closer with an opportunity to go to postseason. And what does everybody want to do? They want to play in the postseason. But even if you don't have that opportunity, you have a chance to make a difference. You have a chance to show that team that you're playing for that, you know what, I'm going to play 100%. We're going to go out and play as hard as we can, and we're going to make a difference in who makes the playoffs. Every team feels that way. So I think when you get to the month of September, and I say August is usually a dog days, and yeah, it is that way. But as you're building up for September, the intensity rises. And every game means more. And then, boy, you get several series with guy teams that have an opportunity to get to the playoffs. All of a sudden, you hear that little phrase, playoff baseball. And that's what it feels like. And I think September is the best month of baseball. It makes it so fun because everything means a lot.
Augie, what was September in 1982 like for this ball club?
Intense. All intense. Everything was talking. We went into Boston thinking, what do we have to do? We go into Boston before going into a five-game series against the Baltimore Orioles, saying that, you know, we just got to take two out of three. We did that. We go into Baltimore thinking we just got to win one game and it's over. And all of a sudden, Baltimore took it to us for four games that we had. We had a night game, a doubleheader, and a day game. I think it was four games that we had to play. And it all came down to Don Sutton, Jim Palmer their last day. It was intense, but boy, it heats up. The intensity was there. It was playoff baseball. Every game was meant a lot. You went out there and tried to do the best you can. And I'll tell you what, it's really a neat feeling that every game you look at that scoreboard just to see what the other team is doing, but yet you have to take care of what you're doing, and that's most important.
Ooh, I got goosebumps just listening to you talk about it. about 82 all over again. Because that's, you know what, Augie, and I'm sure you've been approached and fans have talked to you about it. That's what it was like in 82 for the fans, too. They were chewing their fingernails, and they were fighting the good fight with you guys in 82.
Yeah, players talk, and they know what's going on, and you see what the schedule is, and you know that what the schedule ahead is going to be. But still, you know, as hard as the month is, Bob, when you look at September, you look at the Brewers and say, wow, that's not an easy schedule. Nothing means more than the Minnesota game tomorrow. And that's the hardest thing about the game of baseball, is that you look ahead of who you have to play. You really have to take care of where you're at this time. They got a Minnesota team that's in first place, and they got to win. They got to go and try to win tomorrow. But after that, San Diego comes in, and they've got a good offensive ball club, and they want to make a difference because they still feel they have an opportunity. So it just intensifies, and then you got the Cubs. Anytime you play the Cubs, it intensifies. So it's going to get real. It's going to be a lot of fun. The next seven games before we get into September are going to be a lot of fun. But when September rolls around, starting with Philadelphia, it really gets intense.
Brewers now 69-57, Augie. First time they've been 12 games over 500 this season. The Twins are now 65-61, but they're still in first place in their division. Before I let you go, night-night, let's talk about tomorrow afternoon's game. You told me you're in your pajamas. I'm jealous.
I am.
Jealous. Tomorrow afternoon, Kenta Maeda for the Twins, Corbin Burnes for the Brewers. Last time out in L.A., it went for naught, but he was really vintage Corbin Burnes. They need that again tomorrow, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do, and Corbin understands that. He's getting to the time of the year where everything means a lot. And the one thing we always know about Corbin Burnes is that, you know, he's going to go out there and he's going to give you everything he's got. He's going to not give in. He's just going to pitch as long as he can, as hard as he can, and he's going to give you everything he got. The one thing I have really noticed about Corbin Burnes is when he goes in the game, he's built upon three pitches, and we all know those pitches. He's got a curveball, he's got a slider, which he's changed a little bit, the arc of the slider a little bit, and he's got his cutter. But those three pitches make Corbin Burnes. When he goes in and he has that good curveball early in the ball game, boy, he's going to be lights out. But every once in a while, he has to fight himself a little bit and find it. I think the curveball is a key to his pitching, although he doesn't throw it a lot. It's a key that sets up that cutter. But he has a great fastball. He has a great changeup. But when he gets in the ballgame, commanding of those three pitches are so important, and they're going to be really important against this Minnesota team because they're aggressive and they're a good hitting ball club, and you have to go out. You have to pitch ahead against Minnesota, and tomorrow Corbin's going to have to do that.
Ooh, and it's going to be hot and sweaty and humid and stinky at American Family Field tomorrow, high in the 90s.
Just a great day to pitch. I mean, you go through those games, and I can remember pitching in warm weather, and most of the time when we get no-style weathers was in Texas, you'd go through two and three uniform tops a game, and that happens because you're so intense and you're working so hard. So tomorrow's going to be a good game. It's going to be a day game, and it's going to be warm. Everybody's going to be intensifying. Intensity is going to be up a little bit. The Twins need to split this series. The Brewers need to sweep the series, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Augie, I'm picturing you, your pajamas. Do they have horses on? Do they have, like, Barrel Man logos? What are we sporting?
No, but if I ever found those, Bob, I would wear them. No doubt in my mind. And you know I would, the type of person I am. I just have my little sweat jammies on. But I'm you know, if I go into Brewer's store and they have pajamas that have the little barrel on it, barrel guy on it with all the Brewer guys on it, there's no doubt that I would have a set of those.
Okay. Challenge accepted. If there's anybody out there that knows someone that can sew some pajamas with the Barrel Man logo, Augie will wear them and we'll put it on the show.
Oh, I'll do that in a heartbeat. I'd be honored to do that.
All right. Sweet dreams, my friend. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, Bob. Always great being with you. And a great win for the Brewers. Let's go win one tomorrow.
Absolutely. He's Jerry Augustine. Our show is presented by Annex Wealth Management, Investment, Retirement, Tax, and Estate Planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Forget commission sales pitches and financial products you don't need. Know the difference. Annex provides elite, comprehensive financial planning customized to who you are and what you need. AnnexWealth.com is where you find them on the web. When we come back, on Brewers Extra Innings. Craig Counsell was a happy manager tonight. We'll hear from the skipper next. Steamy American Family Field tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers over the Twins. By the way, the Old National Bank talk and text line is wide open here this Tuesday night. 855-616-1620. James on the south side knew that phone number, which is why he called in to Brewers Extra Innings. Hello, James.
Yes, Bob. Now, tomorrow's going to be hot and steamy. Would you cancel the game, or would you move it up from a 1 o'clock game, 1 o'clock time, till maybe 7:30 or 8:30 or 9 o'clock game tomorrow night? Be less humid and be more comfortable for fans and also for the players. What would you do?
What would I do? I would do exactly what the Brewers are going to do, which means they're going to play the game at 1:10 p.m. tomorrow. And here's why. Okay. It's a scheduled day game. It's a getaway day for the Twins, which teams accommodate other teams by having day games to end a series. Also, you have to remember games in Texas when the Rangers used to play without having a roof over there. I mean, they played in stifling heat even when it was nighttime. The temperatures could be in the high 90s, pushing 100 degrees for night games, and then day games were just crazy hot down there. So it's not like this would be the first time that there'd be a day game and the temperatures would be in the high 90s. It happens all over baseball with teams that don't have a roof, and they just don't move it because of hot weather. Now, James, I will also point out, we heard from Jerry Augustine in the segment prior, and when we said, boy, it's going to be a hot one tomorrow, Jerry said, love it. He goes, pitchers love when it's hot weather because it's easy for them to get loose. They don't cramp up. There's relative low pressure on the arm because, again, doesn't take much to get loose. And, yeah, they sweat a lot. They go through a lot of jerseys, which is what Augie said. But from a pitching standpoint, advantage pitcher when it's warm weather.
Okay. All right. Hey, it was a nice win tonight, wasn't it?
Yeah. It sure was, James, and here's why. Because the team had a day off after they got the sweep in Texas. You want to keep that momentum going. Well, you get a day off, and so you're kind of thinking going into this one, well, maybe everybody hits the reset button. No, the Brewers didn't do that. They kept the momentum going. They've now won four in a row. The Cubs lose tonight, so they have a 3.5-game lead. So, yes, great way to kick off this 2-game set with the Minnesota Twins. Thanks so much for the call, James.
Thank you, Bob. Bye.
So, as promised, Craig Counsell, manager of the Milwaukee Brewers, had a lot to say and a lot of good things to say about his ball club tonight after beating the Twins 7-3.
Well, if it's payback, I mean, we caught some breaks that inning, no question about it. Some softly hit balls, found some holes, but kept putting it in play. And you know, once in a while, you get rewarded for that. That's the old adage of why you want to put the ball in play, because sometimes something good can happen, and that's what happened tonight for us.
Was part of that inning two, seeing a new arm out there, looked like the second time you were over was kind of figuring some stuff out.
Well, he's a good pitcher. He made a mistake to Willie in the first, and we got another rally going again. But he's having a really nice year. He's a good pitcher. So, you know, I thought that the key kind of was, you know, William and Carlos getting on and creating trouble in that inning. And then we just took advantage of it after that.
What's it been for Tyron these last four or five games? It seems he's kind of found a groove.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he had a ball fall tonight. He's getting consistent at bats and he's producing.
How about, you know, what Mark Canna's done over this stretch as well, just, you know, being able to be productive with guys on base?
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is let's get guys on base, you know, up ahead of them and make it tough innings. And, Mark has a tough at-bat. That's kind of what he's known for is his tough at-bats, and he did a nice job with it. I thought the other thing is Bryce Wilson, you know, giving us two innings there in the middle when you're down, that – Keeps the score there, take the lead. He has another nice inning. That was a big part of the game as well.
What has he kind of meant for you this season, just his ability to pitch multiple innings?
Yeah, I mean, multiple innings. He's very, you know, resilient. His arm's very resilient, able to come back. And, you know, I think I think when our bullpen, he's leading our bullpen in innings. And so that, just his ability to pitch a lot, kind of be the glue for guys, cover innings. There's, you know, there's a lot of value in what Bryce has done that we don't have numbers for. We don't have an analytic for it. We can't measure necessarily, but he's saving other guys' pitches. He's keeping us in games. And tonight he, you know, was the bridge to a win. He's put together a really nice season.
With some of the uneasiness in the ninth inning in that Rangers series, how nice was it for McGill just coming and do his job? Keep it up.
Yeah, I mean, Trevor's throwing the ball really well. I mean, that's four outings in a row where it's been really lights out, in my opinion. So, you know, got to keep him locked in. We got a guy in a good place right now.
Doesn't it ask you what you think the difference has been with him, just the road trip? And
I mean, he's confident right now. That's the one thing I that you notice on the mound, and he's throwing a ton of strikes. But I think his confidence is high right now, and that's what it feels like, as much as that's what he's given off, as much as anything.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what the Brewers did tonight, and we talked about this with Jerry Augustine, the fact that you look at the lineup card, and top eight hitters all had one base hit. Joey Weimer was the only player tonight in the lineup card that for Craig Counsell that did not have a base hit, but everybody else had one base hit. There's your eight hits, seven runs on eight hits. So there's your contribution from everybody. And then the bullpen, piggybacking off of Wade Miley going five innings. That's what you call a true team effort. That's why Craig Counsell was peppered with the questions about all the guys on his batting card, and then Miley, and then the bullpen. A true team effort by the Milwaukee Brewers. Little bang from Willy Adames after that. Plink here, plunk there, got it done with that five-run sixth. That's how they got it done, and they win it 7-3. So our segment here, whenever we hear from Craig Counsell, is brought to you by Cider Heating and Cooling, and we're supposed to talk about who's hot, who's cold. Well, again, who's hot, it would have been everybody tonight. That was everybody literally chipping in with eight of the nine guys getting a base hit. And then four pitchers combining, Miley starting, and then the three guys after that to get the job done and not have to touch Devin Williams in this one. So who's hot? That would be all the Brewer hitters on a hot evening, and going to be a hot one tomorrow. And who's cool? Well, we hope who's cool are the fans tomorrow, because as James from the South Side said, well, maybe you move the game because it's more comfortable for the fans. Fans, if you're going to the game tomorrow, bring your fans. Make sure you have hydration. Make sure you stay cool however you can. Get in the shade portion of American Family Field. Hey, and listen, we don't know either. There's a roof. It's not air-conditioned at American Family Field, but if you can get the sun out by closing the roof, maybe on the corners, and keep it a little cooler for the fans, for the players on the field, that might be done as well. We'll have to wait and see what the Brewers do. Or maybe they want to roast the Twins. Who knows? But the weather will be warm. So, again, if you're attending the game, stay cool, fans in the stands. And, again, all this is brought to you by Cider Heating and Cooling. Trust in your family's comfort at home all year long with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Their sale is now extended. You get up to $1,000 off on a Daikin furnace or an AC unit through the end of the month. Financing is available as well. Schedule your opponent today at Cider.com. That's Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Families helping families since 1912. Brewers win the first of two with the Minnesota Twins. 7-3 was the final score tonight. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, in case you didn't hear, Euchre and company call it at the Ball Yard tonight. We've got the highlights for you.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Bob Brainerd.
I'm in for Dom. He's going to check back in here soon. Brewers win it tonight here. Game one of two with the Twins in Milwaukee. 7-3, the final score. It started in the first inning with Willy Adames going yard.
And the pitch. Hit to left and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here! Gone for Adames! And the Brewers have a 2-0
It was short-lived, however. Christian Vasquez took Wade Miley deep in the top of the second inning. That tied it at two. Minnesota added another run to take the lead in the fourth inning. 3-2 was the score heading to the bottom of the sixth. That's when the Brewers began to hit with runners in scoring position. You heard me right. It was one hit after another, starting with this.
Here he comes. Bouncer hit to right. Base hit. Here comes Contreras. The throw going to third, and it gets by. But backed up by Dylan Floral. That puts Tenna at second, but Santana at third, and the game tied at three apiece.
So Mark Canha ties it, but the Brewers weren't done yet plinking and plunking their way.
Floral running in for Tyrone. Shallow right, little flare, base hit. And the throw coming home, and a run's going to score. 4-3 Twins on a little pop fly base hit.
Nothing hit hard in this inning, but with the infield in, the Brewers took advantage.
And the pitch. Runner goes. Swinging a liner. Off the glove of Correa. One run's going to score, and they'll hold. Runner at third, and wisely so. Canha is in. Brewers add one more. And a wise hold by Jason Lane, Brewers' third base coach, on Tyrone Taylor.
But Taylor wasn't stranded there for long.
New sign, Dylan Floro deals. Bouncer up the middle, base hit. Two more runs are going to score. Ryan Anderson comes through with a base hit. Right up the middle with the infield drawn up. No chance for Correa or Polanco on that one.
So the Brewers, again, the top eight hitters in the lineup tonight, all had one base hit. They had all eight hits in the ballgame. Only Weimer didn't have a base hit, but it didn't matter. Seven runs and eight hits, and the Brewers get the job done with that five-run sixth inning, winning it 7-3. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll get you set for an afternoon delight at American Family Field tomorrow. Brewers and Twins in Game 2. Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings. Bob in for Tom. 7-3, your final score at American Family Field. So the Brewers won their fourth straight ball game. They had a day off yesterday. Chance to chill after coming home from that long road trip that took them to Chicago, Los Angeles, and down to Texas. So the three-game sweep of the Rangers and then the win tonight against the Minnesota Twins makes it a four-game win streak. What does that do to the standings in the division? Well, we have the answer as well, because the Detroit Tigers took care of the Chicago Cubs earlier this evening. Tigers were a winner 8-6 in Detroit over the Cubs. So couple that with the Brewers beating the Twins, and Milwaukee has a 3.5 game lead on the second place Chicago Cubs. The game just went final out west. And I'm making sure nothing crazy happened, producer Matt. Did it?
Cincinnati with a 4-3 victory over the Angels.
There you go. Yeah, just went final, and the Reds hang on to defeat the Angels. By the way, Mike Trout came off the IL today, so they're hoping that Trout is a key in the final month of the season to try to get the Angels into the wild card, but they have a lot of work to do over there on the American League side. But the Reds, winners out west. So they pick up a half game in the standings, not on the Brewers, but they stay four games behind. This is why I check with Matt late at night, because math is hard, especially late at night. But the standings now in the NL Central should be met. Brewers on top. 3.5 games on Chicago, who's in second place, and the Reds 4 games back in third place. Am I right?
You are correct.
All right. Very good. So those series, Detroit and Chicago, will continue, as will the Reds out in Anaheim taking on the Angels. So the Brewers, meantime, will have game 2 of their short 2-game set with the Minnesota Twins. And then they get another day off. Very unusual scheduling, having the Monday off to come off of the road trip and relax there, but then also having the day off coming up on Thursday and then continuing the homestand with the San Diego Padres. But game two tomorrow is an afternoon affair. 1:10 p.m. is game time at American Family Field, which means the pregame programming begins at 12:35 here on 620 WTMJ and along the Brewer Network. Kenta Maeda will be the starting pitcher for the Minnesota Twins. He is 3-7 on the year, 4.13 ERA. He missed a lot of the year with an injury, so he came back, but he's still trying to kind of find himself on the mound, find the formula that the Twins are used to when they obtained him a couple years ago. And Corbin Burnes goes for the Brewers. 9-6 is his mark, an ERA of 3.43. But, Matt, we talked with Augie about this, and what we saw out of Corbin Burnes when he pitched in L.A. didn't get the win, but he certainly gave the maximum effort in that game. They will need that again tomorrow afternoon, won't they?
Yeah, they'll need Corbin Burnes to be on his A game, and they're also going to need to combine that with the offense that they had tonight. They can't afford to have the race go out on the hill and then have an L go up on the scoreboard. Two starts in a row for Corbin Burnes, and they need to build some confidence with Burnes because his next start is going to be on national TV in the Windy City in a very pivotal game for the Brewers.
Yeah, that's how the rotation is setting up for the Brewers and Cubs in Chicago. But that's next week. A point that we had James from the South Side call in. He was concerned about the heat tomorrow with a day game, and temperatures are supposed to be in the high 90s, very humid, thick air tomorrow. And one of the things that we didn't talk about was the fact that Corbin Burnes, we've seen him, I think it was it
Cincinnati.
In Chicago? In Cincinnati, yeah. And they had now this was a night game, but it was really heavy air. The humidity was thick that night, and Corbin was really struggling with the heat. I'm sure, Matt, that's something that the Brewers staff is already talking about, and they will monitor in the game tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, Craig Counsell actually mentioned it this morning on Wisconsin's Morning News that he has a plan in place. The AT staff has plans in place to protect not only Corbin Burnes, not only, I'm assuming it'll be Victor Caratini behind the plate, considering that he's his personal catcher, but to protect all the players from the excessive heat. And I think that after what happened in Cincinnati, the AT staff has learned, and I think that Corbin Burnes, along with the other guys in the field, they'll be ready to go, and I don't think we'll see anything similar, but you can never be too cautious when it comes to Corbin Burnes.
I also wonder, and we talked about this with our caller as well, because there will be concern, you know, not just for the fans, but as Matt said, with the players on the field, and of course the starting pitchers, Maeda and Burnes. I'm wondering, Matt, if the Brewers put, now they used to do this with the roof, if you remember, because Ryan Braun, when he was playing in right field, he didn't like the shadows, okay? So they closed just certain panels. It wasn't closed completely, but you'd have day games, and they closed certain panels to provide shade. I'm wondering if they consider that tomorrow afternoon just to shade the players, not deal with the shadows.
We just got to do enough to block the sun, because that's going to take off 5 to 8 degrees. I'm no meteorologist by any means, but just from experience, knowing the difference between sun and shade, that is a massive difference. So we'll see. The Brewers are the home team, and whoever has that switch to the roof tomorrow might be the most powerful person in American Family Field and in the city of Milwaukee tomorrow night. And I know there's a lot going on.
you know who I think has the control switch is that bald guy on the Truman Show. I think he controls this. Whoever has it, who's ever in charge, again, it'll be a big game for the Brewers and the Twins. 1:10 p.m. tomorrow. We will have it for you on 620 WTMJ and along the Brewers Network. For producer Matt, for Jerry Augustine, Bob Brainerd. So long. Brewers Extra Innings is in the books.